Eric Armster is a Montgomery native. He went to Lanier High School, like some of y'all did, and then to Tuskegee, where he played football. And he now works with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, FCA, here in Montgomery. And he does a lot of his work with Carver High School. And this fall, the life of Carver High School and Trinity Church has overlapped a bit. You're going to see a video of one of the five or six meals that the pregame meals that Trinity was able to provide for Carver. And Carver had a great season, and every Friday that they came in here, the men of this church plated their food, and we had somebody speak to them at one time. I know Chet Moeller and Blake Smith and some others gave talks to them, and just a great, great opportunity for us to connect with a great team. And Eric's a big part of that. He knows all those players by name. And here's a couple of I got one of them. They were smiling. They were all saying, "Don't smile, don't smile." But see, I outsmarted them, and that was a live photo that I was able to extract a smile from right before they posed. So, Eric, it's a wonderful thing to see Eric work with those young men. And after Eric brings his devotional, I'll come back up, and we're going to talk a little bit about his ministry with the young men at Carver and other places through FCA. But Eric, if you would come on up, Eric's going to teach us from God's Word, and then we'll talk about his ministry after that. We're thrilled to have you here, brother.
Thank you, Ralph. Good morning, men. I can't tell you how privileged and blessed I'm just to stand before you guys. My legacy with Trinity Church goes back, I want to say, gosh, maybe to my middle school days. And let me tell you how that works. How long has Trinity been supporting the FCA chapter in Montgomery? How long y'all been supporting it?
35, 40 years,
right? So, gosh, in 1993, I was a middle school athlete at Brubaker Middle School. And a guy by the name of John Gibbons came around and told me about the gospel of Jesus Christ through FCA. Now, at that time, Trinity Church was supporting John Gibbons. And John Gibbons comes and speaks to a young African-American kid from South Montgomery and shares the gospel with me. Let me fast forward. Lanier High School as a football player. This is how your donations, this is how your support has been playing out over the years. Just trying to run that picture for you. As a high school athlete at Lanier, the FCA staff guy, John Gibbons, comes by and does devotions with us throughout the season and tells us about Jesus Christ. Now, John Gibbons was supported by Trinity Church. Let me keep it going. Let me show you how Trinity was involved in Eric's life. I get to college at Tuskegee University. There's a ministry called Campus Outreach. Heard of Campus Outreach? Staff guy by the name of Byron Johnson, who was supported by Trinity Church. Picks up a young freshman named Eric Armster, takes me under his wing. Says, "I want to teach you how to live for Jesus." So your legacy of support in this guy's life, you probably would never even know. You never know where those support dollars go. And I'm a product of you guys' faithful support. I just wanted to show you that God just gave me that just now, just sitting in my chair. I said, "Listen, this has been 30 years of you guys pouring into somebody that you probably had no clue you'll get the return from. But you're seeing the return right now." Real quick, I just want to challenge you, man, this morning. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. So it's like, Lord, what do I say this morning to these men? But I want to challenge you this morning about being an eternal playmaker and what that looks like in your lives. Amen? Let's go to God. Heavenly Father, what an opportunity to just encourage, to exalt, to fellowship with my brothers from Trinity Prayers. And Lord, just God, thank you for their legacy of supporting missionaries around the world. Not only around the world, but right here in the good old Gump. Support some local inner city teens that you probably never knew you were supporting. But God, I thank you for their legacy. I thank you for their faithfulness as men. Lord, would you teach us more about yourself and about being an eternal playmaker for Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Man, I know we love sports. I know we love football. It's that time of the year. And we're in the playoffs right now. And so you guys had the great opportunity of supporting one of our local public schools, Carver High School, right up the street here on Fairview. So, man, what an opportunity. What an opportunity to step in and be an eternal playmaker to some young kids who probably haven't heard a clear gospel presentation from a local church like this. And so I'm gonna share a few questions with you, share a few points, and I'll be out your way and let you guys get on about your business today. But basically, being an eternal playmaker, the first question I want to ask is, do you have an eternal perspective about your life? Do you have an eternal perspective about your life? And the second question I want to pose today is, are you living your life in such a way that you're making an eternal impact on others? Are you living your life in such a way that you're making an eternal impact on others? And the scripture I wanted to use today was 1 Corinthians 3:5. Of course, classic scripture here. What does it say? Who is Apollo? Who is Paul? And I like to kind of sub out some names in that verse right there, and those first two lines right there. Let's say, who is Trinity Church? Who is FCA? Service to whom you believe as the Lord assigned to each planet, Trinity watered, but God gave the growth. Neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. And so kind of sub your name into that verse. Who is Trinity Church? Who is FCA? Who is Eric Armstrong? Just some ordinary men, right? Who answered an extraordinary call to live their lives on purpose for eternity. That's all we are. I tell my high school kids, I said, look, you got just one purpose in life here. You're born to serve God, to glorify him, to love him each day, and then he's going to call you home. Now, in that meantime, between time, you need to start praying about your purpose where God has you on this planet right here. Pray that God will give you an eternal perspective about life. You remember the book of James, right? James 4:14, he says, what is your life? He says, your life is just a mist. I think of last Thursday night out of the playoff game at Crampton Bowl. Sidney Lanier was playing, and man, there was fog everywhere. And that fog maybe lasted about 30 minutes, and then it lifted, and it was gone. And James describes our life on this planet as just a mist. It's quick. Let me tell you how quick it is. Just this past week, tragic story, at one of my middle schools across town here, I had one of my football players commit suicide. Another story, one of my high schools here in Montgomery, had a young lady, she overdosed on pills just this past week. Crossed over into eternity, may not knowing where she's going to spend eternity at. May not knowing where that young man's going to spend eternity. This thing is fast. And the mental illnesses that are going on with our young people is just, it's off the charts now. And so we got to get busy about being eternal playmakers in the lives of others. Remember the verse in John, 1 John 2:17? He says, this world and everything in it is passing away along with its desires. And that second point, are you living your life in such a way that you're making the eternal difference on others? We think of probably the greatest eternal playmaker in Scripture, the Apostle Paul, right? You probably remember that verse in 2 Timothy where he says, I'm being poured out as a drink offering. I'm giving my life away intentionally to others, right? Or in Acts 20, Acts 20:24, where Paul says, I don't consider my life as nothing as value to myself, but only I might finish my course in the ministry that the Lord God has given me. Paul poured his life out for others. He was the ultimate eternal playmaker. And he's one of the greatest examples that we can live by as brothers in this room right here today. Want to share a quick quote with you that's impacted my life for, gosh, going on 18 years now. My favorite pastor, John Piper. When I heard about John Piper, I went through campus outreach. We'll never know who this guy was. But he shared a quote in one of his sermons that I think he, growing up in the household that he grew up in, his dad had this quote on the wall. Y'all probably know it. This present life shall soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last, right? So the here and now, as we said in James, it's a vapor, it's quick, it's come and it goes. I'll tell you another quick story. One of my Carver coaches got killed last year in a tragic car wreck. And great, great guy, Coach Greg Quarles. We call him Coach Q. And Coach Q was a mountain of a man. If he was standing up here, he probably looked like one of those WWE wrestlers. Just loved the gym, worked out, ate right. And so our running joke was, man, if he had been in another car wreck, we'd have felt bad for the car because he was just this big guy, big mountain of a man. And so God called him home early and in his sovereign time and his sovereign grace. And so this life is quick. It's a vapor. And another quote I want to share with you is from my favorite urban theologian. He goes by the name of Lecrae. Lecrae is one of my favorite Christian hip-hop rappers that I listen to. And he said, your money, your singleness, your marriage, your talents, your time, they were loaned to you to show the world that Christ is divine. So, men, some challenging words to live by. And let me show you, I got my flags up here. I want to show you a quick example of some of the illustrations that I use with the kids. You know, we're in football season, so I've got the penalty flags, and these are some of the cool things I get to share with the kids and as a way to kind of walk them through the gospel, right? And so to bring the gospel down to their level, I'll use the penalty flags. I'll use some other illustrations that we come up with through FCA. So here's a quick illustration about the penalty flag. Penalty flag represents sin in our life, right? So you're lying, you're stealing, you're cheating, you're lusting. That's the penalty flag. And so when this flag is dropped, just like in a football game, it's usually something bad that's happened. And I tell those kids, you know, think of the flags in your life. Think of the penalty flags. Think of the sins in your life and their consequences. Wages of sin is death, right? Romans, gift of God's eternal life. But I show them a cool thing about the flag. I said, man, you know what? In a football game, especially in an NFL game, they got this thing called a challenge flag. And so if there was like maybe a pass interference or maybe a holding call on a play, the head coach can drop the challenge flag and challenge the penalty. Let me tell you the cool thing about that challenge flag. Number one is its color. Y'all know where I'm going with this, right? It's red. And the blood that washed away our sins was red and covered our sins was red. And so when the coach drops that challenge flag, the referee has to go back to the display booth. They got to go review the play. And then the ref will come back and do this number. Pick the flag up. Do this. What's this mean? Penalty's waved off, right? Well, 2,000 years when Christ died on the cross for our sins, it's like God does this over your life. This weighs off every sin, weighs off your penalty. Simple illustration, right? But those are some of the things I get a chance to share with the local youth, the local football players in our community, to help them understand the gospel, number one, and then help them understand, number two, their eternal destiny if they don't know Jesus. So, man, I have the privilege each week in and week out to go into the local school system, MPS. People saying, man, there's no church going on in MPS. There's no gospel going on in MPS. I beg to differ. Word of God is being shared at all your five public high schools. Lee, Lanier, Park Crossing, Carver, Jeff Davis. They pretty much hand me the keys to the campus sometimes. They come on in, E, do what you do. Just don't. Now, we're covert about what we do at times because we know we're at a public school campus. But those administrators want us there because they know what we offer. They know the program that we offer and how we can change lives and how we can make that campus a better place. Tell you a quick testimony. Carver High School. I've been serving at Carver for 14 years. Got to know the principal really well, built a good relationship with him. Before school starts, the past couple of years, he's called me up personally. He said, Brother E, would you come up to campus and just pray over our school? And just walk to campus with us and just pray through the hallways. Would you do that with us? Sure. So God is in our schools. He's there. He's working. And it's faithful men like you who are making that happen behind the scenes. You guys are, you know, you've seen the analogy of the person holding the rope for the guy that's in the well. That's you guys. And I challenge you to continue to do that as God gives you the grace and strength to do that. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, what an opportunity to fellowship with my brothers here, these men who love you. God, these men who are intentional about their lives. God, these men who are intentional about making plays for eternity, living on purpose for you. God, thank you for this opportunity to encourage them today. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
My phone number up on the screen. If you have questions for Eric, thank you, brother, for bringing God's word to us. If you have questions for Eric, you can send them to that number right there, and I'll read through them and decide if they're worthy to be asked or not, and then possibly ask them. But if you would, while we wait and see if there's any questions that come in from the men, tell us a little bit about how long you've been working with FCA and what an average week, let's say during football season, what an average week looks like for you.
Yeah, FCA, gosh, this is going on year 15. And so average week is busy in the fall semester because everybody needs Jesus during football season. So they're calling me up. And my nickname around the city is Brother E. So I get a phone call. Brother E, can you come to my school tonight? Can you come out to practice tonight and sweep my kids and pray for my kids and do a devotion and do a chapel? And so on the average weekday in the fall, we're at, gosh, a number of between five to seven different schools, hanging out at football practices. So this is, you know, fall semester, football season, volleyball season. So our staff are usually working with those two teams and kind of doing team Bible studies. We've got the campus Bible study, which we call the huddle, on campus that's happening every week. And so, and then we got our local colleges in the area. We got Bama State here right in our backyard. Tuskegee's right up the road that we work with as well. AUM, Huntington Faulkner.
So, yep. That's great. Yeah. What about during the day when are you able to go in the schools during the day, and what would that look like if you were, you know, are you just walking the halls and making contacts, or what are you doing there?
Yeah, one of my biggest within FCA, our biggest ministry is to the coach. So the coach gets saved, he gets discipled, you know, he starts living for Jesus Christ. Guess what that's going to do? Mm-hmm. I'm still over to the kids. All right, so they see the FCA guy, you know, not as frequently as they see that coach every day. And so, and that's my campus outreach background.
Mm-hmm.
Popping
mm-hmm.
in there. Love the discipleship of that. So, I use the, you know, some of the things I learned from campus outreach and kind of incorporate them into the mix there with FCA and do discipleship with my head coaches. And I've got a one-on-one relationship with those guys. I go by their offices. I'll go by there and pray with them, do a small Bible study with them out of the FCA Bible, challenge them on their marriages, hold them accountable, the ones that will let me get an accountability relationship with them. And so that's really my focus, is trying to, you know, disciple them and help them grow in their relationship with God. Some, the ones who don't, you know, who are still kind of got their toe in the water, hadn't really, you know, dove into this thing full time, just nudging them forward and walking them through the scriptures and showing them why their need for Christ and whatnot.
Yeah, that's good. Now, when you finished at Tuskegee, I mean, you could have gone other places.
Mm-hmm.
What brought you back to Montgomery? How'd you get into your current position? What made you have a burden for FCA and for Montgomery? How'd that happen?
I got saved in high school, and immediately the Lord put a burden for the community on my heart. And so I grew up South Court Street, Fleming Road. Y'all know that area, South Montgomery. And so, you know, post '60s and '70s, that area kind of got, you know, things went down. So grew up in a tough area, and I was one of the fortunate kids on the block. I had a two-parent home, right? So I looked down one side of the street, looked down the other side of the street, single parent, gang, drugs, single-parent moms, just a whole. And so God in His sovereignty, in the midst of all this chaos, like, I was in a stable home environment, but I still had a burden for those people, like my friends, who didn't have dads. And so one of the things for my calling was just to be a mentor to some young black men. If y'all see, and y'all guys know, there's a crisis in the African-American community when we're dealing with role models and men in the community. And so I got tired of cutting on the 5 o'clock news and seeing us getting arrested and saying, okay, what can we do about this? Well, I got a degree from college. You know, I could go to the business world, go make a lot of money, or I could go throw my life away, give my life away to a low-income community. And so that's really why I joined FCA, because FCA was working in the public school system, and I wanted to be a mentor.
Well, segue from that into, you know, we saw a little bit about what Trinity Church is doing to help. And for guys who might want to be involved on a more regular basis, or what are the ways that folks can men can help?
Support. No, your prayers and your support. On your table there's some business cards. And I would love for you to prayerfully, you know, think about joining the ministry here, of what God is doing here. I mean, you saw the results. A local inner city football team that you probably had no contact with came here, fellowship, got poured into throughout this season, heard a clear gospel presentation over 6 weeks, and you never know the seeds that will come out of that. And so that was possible with the partnership with FCA. And not only Trinity Church, but First Baptist is doing the same thing downtown with Lanier. And so one of the biggest ways to help is joining the team.
Okay. You know, one thing, I don't know if you could see on that rapid fire video, but at every table where there were nine Carver men, we saved one chair and had a Trinity fellow there. And so that was a personal contact that our men got to have with some of your okay. Another fellow wants to hear a little bit more about your growing up, in terms of, you know, you mentioned coming in contact with John Gibbons and FCA and all that. Were you also exposed to the local church? I know you're a member of Strong Tower Church now, which Trinity has a partnership with. But were you exposed to the church growing up as well?
I was. I was raised in the church. Grew up in a little CME church just right off of Rosa Parks in the Eastern Boulevard. Still, my parents still go there to this day. So I grew up in that church, and I was fortunate. Like I said, my dad, you know, I was like, we were like the weird kids in the neighborhood. Like, why y'all going to church on Sunday? You know, so we were going to church, you know, from knee high to the grasshopper. I'd always been in church. I think that was God's sovereignty as well, working in and through my life, along with FCA to kind of woo me to himself. So,
Well, we don't tolerate error on this platform. I doubt Eric Armstrong was ever knee high to a grasshopper. My hunch is he was born squishing them. One more, and that is just, you've been with FCA 15 years now in Montgomery. How have you seen your ministry evolve over that time? How is, that means that when you first got there, the 18-year-old now is in his 30s.
Yeah.
How have you seen young people change, both good and bad, you know, more challenging and less challenging?
More challenging. I think the social media, I wish I could do like just a whole weekend study on how to engage the youth in social media. It's really taking them by, you know, to another level. I think my first year on staff, those early years, I was young. I was kind of green to ministry that rookie year and just learning things about myself as God was maturing me as well. And so now, you know, I'm more of a season of life where I can, you know, really engage coaches more. It was kind of tough to engage coaches those early years. I was so young. I was fresh out of college and they're like, hey, there's college kids coming up. So, but I'll tell you the neat thing is I've got a chance to grow up with a few of my coaches. And so, my head coach, Billy Gresham, who was at Carver, we're about the same age range. And so there was a relationship there. We're kind of a brother relationship where we got a chance to, you know, actually pour into him, but he's pouring into me as a brother as well. Family camps, got a chance to take his whole family to a summer camp where he made a decision for Christ. And now the cool thing is the kids are growing up now, so my teenage kids are adults, and I see them at football games. And 2 weeks ago at a Carver game, one of my young kids came up to me, and he's like, Brother Eric, I just want to tell you thank you. And I was wondering, like, why do you want to tell me, you know, what? He said, Brother Berger, you don't realize the impact that you had on my life. He said, you know, I know you didn't meet with me one-on-one. We didn't do any discipleship together. But I was in those football chapels, and I was listening to you. And everything you were saying, I was taking it to heart. And he's an adult now. He's working at UAB. He goes to Church of Highlands in Birmingham. And he was reflecting on the men who were father figures in his life. And see, this kid, he didn't grow up with a dad. And so he said, there were two father figures in my life. Number one was my head coach, Coach Gresham. And number two was Brother Eric, who was a father figure in my life. So he said, Brother, I just want to thank you for being there. So,
That's great. That's great. Well, Brother E., if you could hang around a few minutes afterwards, I'm sure there's guys who would love to approach you. Can y'all join me in just saying thank you to Eric for being here with us?
Sure.
We're grateful for you. We're grateful for what you do. We enjoy being connected with you and love having you around here. So thank you for being here all the times that you are and for this morning as well.
Amen.
Let me pray for you.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to hear from Eric, for him to remind us from your word about the reality that you're the one that causes the growth, that you're the one who uses just normal vessels like Trinity Church and FCA and Eric Armster and the men in this room. Thank you that you give the growth and that you use broken vessels like us. And pray that you would encourage each one of us as we leave here with that sense of confidence in you and hope in you. As this world needs Jesus, and every nook and cranny needs it. And so we thank you for Eric being with us. We pray that you would continue to use him powerfully among young men, young people in our schools. Thank you for the faith that you've given to him and pray that you would continue to touch lives through his ministry. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.